and gentlemen, trees and non-binaries, and welcome to a mini episode here of Fantastic Plays, the Fantastic Universe's podcast network's answer to all things gaming goodness. Myself, Adam, the Editor Tinkerer, and of course my usual cohort, Connor, the Crusher, also known as Akariu Online. We will hold up our hands and admit that we are proud and noble journalists, and in the spirit of gaming, we admit that misplays happen. So, for those who listen to our most recent misplays happen, you know they do. For those who most listened to our recent episode talking about host WCG, we made a few guesses and speculations, but thanks to a thriving and very active member of their community engagement team, we've been able to hear some calls from the dark, haven't we, Connor, my good pal?
Yeah, whoops. Connor needs to learn how to read certain aspects of the browser play.
Yeah.
Mistakes were made.
They're honest mistakes. I think the good professor once said reading the code explains the code. Well, in this case, reading the rule book explains the game. So
reading exactly one line helps.
Yeah, because when we talked about the power level of Meridius, one of the hosts in the card of the starting characters in the game, we made the assumption that his effect is very powerful because you could do it multiple times. Apparently not. It's very clear in the rules that each host's ability is once per turn.
Yes, you can only activate a host's activated ability once per turn. I did not read that part because I was looking at the bottom of the how to play. It says the different types of effects and activate effects. It doesn't say once per turn. It's in the card types area where it says hosts. In that small block of description, it says that activated abilities of hosts can only be activated once per turn. So I was running under the assumption that activate effects must explicitly state once can only be activated once per turn. Unfortunately, that is not the case for Meridius, which is a really good thing. It kind of reins him in a little bit with constantly abusing Dragon's Breath or Mysterious Egg. It makes him a bit more nicer, a bit more less snarly.
The groping was known, and I've heard it said very well by, I don't remember which game store I heard it in, because, you know, people sitting in a game store slinging cards is definitely my natural habitat. I heard it said that developers spend a lot of time looking at their card game and testing it rigorously, but once you put that card game out into the wider public and player base, and they play for a month approximately, depending on how big the player base is, that time is already longer than any time that the developers ever had with it. So players will usually find more bugs than developers will. So I have no doubt that our nice friends at Hope have seen Meridius's power and have their effects to sort of rein him in and sort of slow the trickle. But I hope that they do it in a way where the card pool doesn't get worse for the dragons. I hope that they just bring up the merfolk and the vampires and whichever other themes they want to bring into the game.
Well, yes, because for this first wave of character decks, there's going to be one more coming out, which is Binky, who's based on the Predator and Prey mechanic, as there's been a couple of spoilers that have been released for that deck. There's also going to be an expansion set which adds new cards for all four of the character decks released to this, and that will be bringing up the other characters into a more balanced level for all decks to be able to do what they want to do and play at a more even level. It might be a case of matchups becoming a bit more prominent, but I'm all for a more balanced play system within a Quadratica, yes. I'm really excited for when they release the product, and I can't wait to start deck building, as I've only currently played with just the character decks, and I'm excited for what the game's going to do with deck building thing.
We're definitely very interested to see what kind of directions the decks can take. Depending on how big the expansion card pool is, you could probably do things with Meridius where it's strictly Dragon Tribal with all of the breath weapons to try and make it a toolbox control deck. Or you could play in some of the other like resource types to bring in the deck in all sorts of directions, kind of like how it is in the pre-built character deck. But I think the thing that we need to address next is actually something that may not have been made official, but something has been divulged unto us here at Fantastic Universes that makes us very excited, because once we've built our decks and we go into these events, we want to be rewarded for the glorious battle that we do. And in the episode, we were a little bit worried about what the prize support and what the promotional things are going to be, and if it's going to be new cards, but we have been told to the contrary, haven't we, Connor, my good pal?
Yes, one thing I was concerned about is if they would potentially go, because card games typically go down a couple of different types of pricing. One is product, another is cash. We were worried that if they would go down the Yu-Gi-Oh! Route of exclusive prizing cards for bigger events, and we have been very kindly let know that that is not a worry. They will never lock behind exclusive cards behind pricing. However, they have said something which makes me very excited, which is that prize cards will have been an aesthetic change. So any potential prize cards coming out, which is an interesting outlook of what prizing could look like in larger events coming out, it's going to look very pretty. I'm looking forward to hopefully having a very foil Meridius, like breathing fire potentially, or something similar.
Yeah, I think I think the obvious choice would be to have like promotional special versions of the hosts with unique foiling, different artwork, just to get, because in hero centric games like this, or in My Hero Academia or One Piece or Flesh and Blood, getting like a fancy version of the hero just really elevates your connection to that character. So getting a fancy fire breathing version of Meridius, or like the vampire lady swirling around with like blood magic, or the merfolk like calling down the crashing tide, kind of like Nami from League of Legends, that kind of care and attention would make the game so much more personal to each of its players. So I think that's definitely something they should look into. Up to them, of course. Just our suggestions.
Just our little two pence that we get to say as professional podcasters.
Well, we are definitely that professionally podcasting, talking all good things about an exciting new game, aren't we, buddy?
Yeah, like everything that I said in previous episode was from a place of love. I am so incredibly excited for this game. And although I did have a couple of criticisms, they were not a case of me bashing the game. It was very much me looking at the game going, from my years of card game experience that I'm sure the creators have also got, going, right, how would I look at this if I was creating a game? What would I be concerned about going forward? What would I be concerned about now? And I'm loving the game, and I'm so excited to watch it expand and keep going to other worlds and other regions. New characters coming out, and then finding the one that I truly love and just latching on like a gremlin. It's very much something that I'm holding a lot of love for. It's something that I'm incredibly excited for, and I'm already trying to spread it around to my store as well as other players that I have in the area. As another game that's been released that should receive the love that I have, as well as their love as well.
That's all we can hope for. This a new game by an ambitious new creator deserves as much attention as it can get. That's why we here at Fantastic Universes are giving it our full support. And this is just the first little drips you've been hearing about us covering the host WCG. It's got a lot of very exciting things going for it, but bringing a breath of fresh air to the entire genre. So I sincerely hope it goes well, and all we can do is just keep shouting its praises, which I'm certain you can help me out with, can't you, Connor?
Oh, very much so. I will be shouting this game's praises until they take out my voice box, and then I'll still keep typing.
Yeah, we can definitely count on that.
Yeah, I'm excited for where the journey goes with this game. Well, there is another thing that we should discuss.
Yep,
the reason we know about these game, and the reason why we knew about what criticisms we had and like points we had made being kind of corrected, is due to them reaching out to us.
We were very fortunate that after the release of our first episode, me doing my due diligence to share it on as many social platforms as I can, we got an immediate response from the lovely team at Host WCG. They are they have an amazing community outreach. They care so much about the people that are involved and like sampling their game that they want to make sure that humble content creators like us hear back from them and show that we are being appreciated and we are being seen. This is kind of all I've ever wanted as a creator, just to be recognized by the source of the games that I'm talking about. So big thank you to Host, and don't worry, you will be hearing our voices quite a bit. I can promise you that.
Very much so, and we're hoping that we can spread the word for you as much as we can.
We definitely
thank
will.
Thank you for the opportunity to do so.
Yes, and another voice that's definitely up there in spreading the good word of Host WCG is the primarily focused on the Vice Force card game is the YouTube channel Vice and Chill, hence the name. He's very dedicated to that TCG that I sadly know little about, but his coverage of Host was certainly what got me involved. His deck profiles on each of the character decks were very needed, and didn't expect us to show the same love and attention to this game as he does. So do check out his content for further in-depth looks at what the cards look like themselves and how they play right under the box. The actual card design of the cards themselves, where the artwork is like dominating the card, and then the text boxes are like fairly clean and detailed, so that you get the appreciation of the art and the feel for the fantasy flair that's in this game. They put a lot of care into how this game looks and how this game plays, so that is as strong a formula for success that I can hope for.
Agreed, completely and utterly.
Well, that is going to wrap us up here. As respectable journalists that we have to sometimes hold up our hands and admit our mistakes, and let us expand our knowledge and us give you, dear viewers and listeners, the fullest story as these new games come out to us sooner rather than later. So anything you want to add, my good pal?
I want to be cheeky and be like, hey Host, we like you, want to come talk to us?
That is a thing that you may do. You have to keep listening to this space, but both dear listeners and creators of Host WCG. But until next time, this has been Adam O'Connor. If you want to hear our highlights and the things that we're going to, check back into the main episode where we talk about Host WCG as a full game. But until next time, live free and play well.
Thank you very much. See you later.